Right, this is what you've been waiting for. Single-sex spaces in the workplace. And to understand where we are, this basically means toilets, you need to start with one landmark case and one simple legal point. We've talked about this case for forever. In Four Women Scotland and Scottish Ministers 2025, the Supreme Court held that sex, for the purpose of the Equality Act 2010, means biological sex, not gender identity, not the sex recorded on a gender recognition certificate. Biological sex. That ruling was handed down over a year ago. It's been working its way through the employment tribunal system ever since. People have complained about the judgment. People have said it was wrong. It represents the law, and it's not going to change because we're not seeing any political party saying they're going to legislate to change this, at least not soon. Now, we're still waiting for the Equality and Human Rights Commission to publish updated guidance on what this means in an employment context. They did it recently for service providers, but not in an employment context. And I think that wait may continue for some time. In the meantime, we have a small number of employment tribunal decisions that give us a sense of how tribunals are approaching the issue. None of them are binding. They're a little bit instructive. When you read the decisions, you sometimes think they may just be influenced by the panel's political views on this issue. But we've also got a High Court ruling that's clarified one important point which one of those tribunal decisions got wrong. So let me take the three cases in turn. We'll start with Peggy and Fife Health Board. Fife Health Board had a policy of allowing employees to use changing rooms based on their gender identity rather than their biological sex. Sandy Peggy, a nurse, objected to a trans woman, that's a biological man who identifies as a woman. Sandy Peggy objected to a trans woman using the female changing room. The tribunal found that the health board's failure to stop the trans woman's access to the female changing room while the complaint was being investigated amounted to an unlawful sex-based harassment. It created an intimidating, hostile, degrading atmosphere for Sandy Peggy. But the tribunal didn't find indirect discrimination. It said that the Four Women Scotland case didn't make it automatically unlawful for a trans woman to use female workplace facilities, and gender reassignment as a protected characteristic carries equal weight alongside sex. Now, there's a significant problem with the Peggy judgment. The tribunal also decided that the word sex in the rules relating basically to toilets and changing rooms, the Workplace Health, Safety and Welfare Regulations 1992, didn't necessarily mean biological sex, even though the Supreme Court had just said it did under the Equality Act. The regulations are relevant because they require employers to provide separate changing facilities where required for propriety. If sex in the regulations doesn't mean biological sex, an employer can't rely on those regulations to justify a biological sex-only changing room policy. That's what the tribunal said. That reasoning was quickly undermined. In Good Law Project against the Equality and Human Rights Commission, a judicial review case, the High Court confirmed that sex in the 1992 regulations does mean biological sex, consistent with the Supreme Court's ruling. The Peggy Tribunal had got that wrong. So the practical position for employers is now this. If your current policy allows trans women to use female changing facilities based on gender identity alone, that policy is likely to be unlawful. The Supreme Court and the High Court have pointed firmly in the same direction. Don't wait for the Equality and Human Rights Commission's updated employment guidance before reviewing your policy. The law's pretty clear here. The legal risk of leaving a gender identity-based facilities policy in place is real and is here now. So, Peggy is case number one. Case number two, again just an employment tribunal case, is Hutchinson and others against County Durham and Darlington NHS Foundation Trust. County Durham and Darlington NHS Foundation Trust operated a policy allowing transitioning employees to use changing rooms aligned with their self-declared gender identity. A trans woman, so just to remind you, that's a biological man who identifies as a woman, employed by the trust, began using the female changing rooms. Miss Hutchinson and several female colleagues raised concerns. The trust said, "We're not changing our policy," and the employees brought claims. The Employment Tribunal, applying the House of Lords decision in For Women Scotland, found in the employees' favour, the women's favour, on two grounds. First, requiring the female employees to share a changing room with a biologically male trans woman and failing to address their objections amounted to harassment related to sex. Second, the Trust's policy of allowing access to single-sex facilities, changing rooms, on the basis of self-declared gender identity amounted to indirect sex discrimination. Women are more likely to experience distress, fear, or humiliation when required to share communal changing facilities with a person of the opposite biological sex than men are. The Trust couldn't justify its policy, and the claim succeeded. Claim number two. Claim number three is Kelly against Leonardo. Now, Miss Kelly, an engineer, objected to her employer's policy permitting trans staff to use toilet facilities aligned with their gender identity rather than their biological sex. She argued that policy of allowing staff to use toilets aligned with their gender identity disadvantaged biological women and created safety concerns, even though single occupancy toilets were also available. Her grievance was rejected, and she brought tribunal claims. The tribunal accepted that the policy amounted to unwanted conduct related to sex, but found it didn't violate Miss Kelly's dignity or create a hostile environment. Critically, Miss Kelly had continued to use the female toilets without incident, and single occupancy alternatives were available. Her direct discrimination claim failed. Her direct discrimination claim failed because biological men and biological women were treated equally under the policy. Her indirect discrimination claim also failed because the tribunal found no practical disadvantage to biological women given the availability of alternative facilities and concluded that even if a minor disadvantage existed, it was justified by the employer's aim of treating trans employees lawfully and maintaining an inclusive workplace. The key lesson from these three cases is that employers can't approach this issue as a simple binary choice. It's tempting to think the Supreme Court says sex means biological sex, so we can run all our single-sex spaces on a biological sex basis, and that's that. But it's not that simple. Trans employees also have protected characteristics under the Equality Act. Gender reassignment is a protected characteristic of equal status to sex. There's no hierarchy of protected characteristics. Gender reassignment is a protected characteristic of equal status to sex. There's no hierarchy of protected characteristics. And employers have to be careful that what they do doesn't harass trans employees. The best way to do that, as the Kelly Tribunal said, is through a detailed impact assessment. That means considering the practical effect of your policy on every relevant group, identifying the risks and taking steps to mitigate them. In Kelly, the availability of single occupancy toilets was the factor that mitigated the risk to trans employees. If you can't, as an employer, point to things like that, you're exposed. If an employer operates a facilities policy based purely on biological sex and nothing else, three risks arise. First, harassment claims from trans employees, on the basis that requiring them to use facilities aligned with their biological sex constitutes unwanted conduct with a degrading or hostile effect on the basis of their trans status, their gender reassignment status. Second, indirect discrimination claims from trans employees on the basis that a biological sex-only policy places them at a particular disadvantage unless the employer can objectively justify it. Third, harassment claims from non-trans employees who find using single-sex facilities alongside someone who has the appearance of the opposite sex intimidating, hostile, or degrading. Now, both Peggy and Kelly are on appeal to the Employment Appeal Tribunal. An appellate decision in this area will be very welcome and will produce considerably more certainty. Until then, employers need to act carefully. Review existing policies. Yeah, that old chestnut. Carry out impact assessments. Yeah, that old chestnut. Consult affected staff where appropriate. Yeah, that one. And document the reasoning behind any decisions made. Tribunals won't simply ask what you decided. They'll ask what you considered, who you consulted, how you weighed up the competing rights involved, if you're an employer. Finally, a quick word about what we're doing at the HR Inner Circle. We're putting together a dedicated webinar on this whole area, focused specifically on sex, gender, toilet and changing room facilities in the workplace, aiming for autumn this year. It is, I know, an unusual subject for a webinar, but given the state of the law right now, it's one that every employer needs to engage with. As a member of the HR Inner Circle, you're going to get that this autumn.